Okay, let's start a new series tonight. It'll be lesson 115. I've entitled this series, The Five Steps to Success. Now, before we start this series, I'd like to say a couple words about something that I've learned recently. It really helped me as a teacher to see some things I hadn't quite seen this way. Let me just say, first of all, that the purpose of this word here that we study, okay, is to do two things. I've always emphasized one thing, and that is to produce beliefs in the believer. In other words, faith cometh by hearing the word. I think it makes a little more, it's a little more definitive than just to say the word faith, which includes so many things, to say it's given to produce beliefs. In other words, the plural. In other words, you can have faith and you have low faith in one area, high faith in another area. But the Word of God is, the one purpose of the Word of God is to produce beliefs. You know, if you go to school or college or something like that, why do you go to college or the school? It's to produce some beliefs in you, okay? I mean, there's nothing really mysterious about what the Word does. The only thing about the Word is it's got power in it that normal other books don't have. It's not only to produce beliefs, but there's a power in there to produce these beliefs. Now, the second reason the word is given, there's other reasons too, but these are the two I want to talk about. The second reason is to strengthen beliefs. Now, this is something that I hadn't thought about too much, but if you go back and read Acts on the first, second, and third missionary journeys of Paul, you'll find out that everything he did was either to produce beliefs in the new believer that they'd not heard before, or to go back and strengthen the beliefs they already had. And he constantly did that. As a matter of fact, a couple of times he wanted to go somewhere else where he hadn't been before, and the Holy Spirit said, no, you go here. And some of those places he went back were places he'd been before. And it says he was to go there to, and if you look at it, it says to strengthen the beliefs of the believers. That's interesting too, because, and one of the three places he went back to most often were the three places he was persecuted most severely: Lystra, Antioch, Pisidia, and Iconium. All those places, in one place he was stoned in Lystra. Yes, honey? Oh, okay. He was stoned in Lystra. Yet he goes back there, and it said to confirm the word. Or if you look up the meaning of that, the King James verse says, confirm the word in the believers. It says to strengthen their beliefs. And so he risked his life, basically, and went back to places he'd had a lot of trouble simply because God said those believers are in a highly persecuted area. I mean, think about it this way. Let's say I was a visiting minister, and I came here, and we taught the word to people in the Columbia City area, and several believed, okay? But let's say then, in the middle of all this, the word got out to the community around here, and they didn't like this, what was being taught. And they came in here, and they stoned me and persecuted you and chased me out of the area. I went to the next city, and then these people from Columbia City, I was over in Warsaw preaching, and they come storming down there and chased me out of there, telling everybody what I'd done over here in Columbia City, okay? How many know that you might have to have your beliefs strengthened if you were left here after I left and everybody knew what had been taught and you were believers in this new faith? So what did Paul do after he was stoned? He turned right around and went back to Lystra where he was stoned. As soon as he was raised up, the Bible doesn't say exactly what happened there. It just says he was stoned and then he was raised up. And then he went right back there to confirm the word in those believers, to strengthen their beliefs, because they would need their beliefs strengthened after going through something like that. And so Paul always either preached the word to establish new beliefs in believers or to confirm or strengthen the beliefs they already have. Okay? So here's an interesting point. Whenever you go to church or wherever you go to hear someone teach the word, even if you've heard it before, you're going to come away with something. You'll never go away with something you can't use, because it's either going to establish a new belief in you or strengthen the beliefs you've already have. And you need both. The Bible talks about the fact that there were Paul and Apollos. There was a little bit of dispute among the believers who they liked the best, Paul or Apollos. And Paul just kind of throwing up his hands, you can just see him saying, hey, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. In other words, he was saying, I planted the word. I gave you the first, I established the beliefs in you. But then Apollos came along and watered the word. That's just strengthening the beliefs they already had. So both are necessary. And if you have that attitude, you'll never go into a place where the word is taught and come away disappointed. Because you'll never say, well, I've heard that. I had that happen to me once. A guy that we had a Bible study in their home, and I taught on healing there just briefly. Then I taught in the same church they went to. And they said, we would have signed up for your course, but we've heard that thing on healing. And I thought to myself, I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, you need to hear it more and more and more if you're going to withstand, you know. So if you heard healing a year ago and we taught it, you may need to hear it again. If you heard on prosperity a year or two ago we taught it, or someone else taught it, you may need to hear it again to have your beliefs strengthened. You can actually have faith. This is something else I've learned. Have faith and still have faith or a belief that's insufficient to produce action on your part. And until we act on that faith, nothing happens. And so it's hearing and hearing and hearing by the word that strengthens that belief to the point where it produces action on our parts. Okay, so just a little preview here. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go, I'm not going over something, but I know you won't, but there's people that are going to hear this that aren't in this room. And I just want to lay it out for all the people who've heard basically some of the things I'm going to talk about. It's not going to be the same. You're going to have heard some of it, but some of the things I've just learned recently that I need to correct a little. The teaching I gave before wasn't wrong. It's just that I left out some steps. I need to tweak it. Exactly. I need to tweak it. And there's some intermediate steps that if you don't take, you won't get to the last step. And so that's what I want to go into a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about the five steps to success. And we're going to talk about an assignment Joshua got. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 1. And everybody's heard this before, but you haven't heard it this way before. So just hang with me here. Joshua chapter 1. Now, first of all, I want you to understand that Joshua chapter 1 starts out when Joshua was receiving a new assignment from God. Moses had just died. Now, of all the people in the Bible, as near as I can tell, Moses is talked about more than any other one person, with the exception of God himself, okay? Of all the human beings that weren't God, if you could find anybody in the Bible talked about more than Moses, I wish you'd come to me, because Abraham's talked about for half of the book of Genesis. But Moses, the first five books of the Bible are called book 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the books of Moses. Okay? They're also written by Moses. That's why they're called that. He wrote all these under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's also called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Okay? It's also, I believe, called the Torah. Because the Torah just covers the first five books, doesn't it?
Right.
Okay. Then there's the prophets and all that. But we're talking about a man, Moses, who was also not only who wrote the first five books of the Bible, who the Bible talks about more than anybody else except God. He was also, Moses, the meekest man in all the earth. Did you know that? The Bible calls him the meekest. If you look up the definition of meek, it says the most humbly obedient man that ever in all the earth, at least at that time. But yet, this humbly obedient man, whom the Bible talks about more than anybody else, failed to get the Israelites into the promised land under his leadership. Okay? Nowadays, if you were to Iraq or something like that, and you're talking about under this general's leadership, what happened, you know? I mean, well, Moses accomplished a lot of things, and he's a man mightily loved by God, but he was not able to get those blasted Israelites into the promised land. So God doesn't throw up his hands and just give up on us. He tries again. I mean, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, he picks out Joshua, and he says, Joshua, I've picked you to lead these people in. Okay, and he's got to follow in the footsteps of a pretty big man, Moses. And listen to what he says here. Let's go over that. Let's start reading. Sydney, let's start with you. Could you read the first four verses?
After the death of Moses, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set your foot, you will be on land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to Lebanon, to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the lands of the Hittites.
Okay, notice one thing what Sidney read there. Did you notice he said he's just going over the same instructions that he gave Moses? He hasn't changed his plan at all. He hasn't said, well, that didn't work, let's try this. He said, this is the land I gave you. It's the same land I do give them. And he's, as I have given it to you, as I said unto Moses, he's not changing anything. It's still his plan. I mean, that just reminds me of this word here. This is still his plan. He's not changing his mind. So, you know, if he looks around, so few have maybe picked up on it. That's still the plan. This is the way it works. So he's saying, I'm giving you the same plan I gave Moses. I've given you this land. Now, notice that it doesn't, because he's given it, doesn't necessarily mean everybody's just going to fall down and welcome you as you walk into this land. He said, though, if you'll persist, it's yours. Okay. Sydney, read on now and read verses 5 and 6.
No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors. I would give them. Oh, I swore to your ancestors I would give them.
He swore. He said, this is yours, I swear it. I mean, this is God saying it. Please pick up on this, people. He's saying, this is your land. Now listen to what Sidney said. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee. Does that mean no one is going to try to stand up before them?
No.
No. He's just saying they're not going to be able to succeed. That's his promise. Okay, and to stand, if you look up the definition in the Hebrew of stand, it means someone who places themselves in your way or some nation to block you from what you want to do. That's what the definition really means. It reminds me, have you ever seen a basketball game with these guards out there? They're trying to keep that guy from driving the basket and steal the ball if they can. He said, no man is going to be able to stand against you. That's my promise. That does not mean, some people think it means that no one's even going to try. But that's not what he's saying. He's just saying they're going to try, but they're not going to be able to withstand you if you do what I say. Okay? And then the next thing Sidney says, first of all, and then God says, I will be with you. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. And then he says, be strong and of a good courage. For if you do, unto this people you will subdivide an inheritance, for an inheritance, the land, which I swore to give you. Now,
Steve, why don't you read now? Read verses 7, 8, and 9, please.
Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Thank you. Did you notice how many times in there he said, be strong and courageous? This is God speaking. Three times, that's right, Steve. You probably got them underlined or something in there, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because they are going to try to stand up against you. And it's going to take some strength. I mean, the first time they looked at that and they saw these people said, oh, they're giants. 10 out of 12 spies said they're giants. We can't possibly take them. He's saying, look, they're not going to be able to stand against you, but you're going to have to be strong and courageous here. All right? And then he says, see, what I'm trying to get through, I want to show you these five steps that are buried in these verses, that if anyone will do these five steps, they'll have prosper and have good success. All right? Now, let's go on and look at something else here. He said, why do you need to be strong and courageous? Steve read this. Why? That you may observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. That meditate has the word mutter, or to mumble God's word in there. That thou mayest observe to do, there's the to do again, according to all that is written therein. For then, and only then, shall you make your way prosperous and have good success. Now, the thing about this is I've looked through this, and you can really summarize what God is saying for to prosper and have good success. There's five things you need to do. And this works for anybody. This is the five things he told Joshua, and here they are, and it's on the outline. Number one, you need to hearken or hear God's word on the subject, whatever God's telling you to do in his word or whatever it is, to find out what the promise is and what you must do, what your part, the part you play. So first, number one, you need to understand what God's word has to say about your situation. Then, well, I've taught this in the past, then I go to step five. And then I said, then you hear the word, that brings the faith, that produces a belief, and then you do what that word says, and you'll prosper and have good success. Is that true? Yes, that's true. The only problem with the way I thought about this in the past is you'll never get to step five. You'll never be able to do the word unless you take steps two, three, and four. That's what it amounts to. It's not enough just to hear the word. You're going to have to take steps. You're going to have to be strong and courageous. You're going to have to stay on course. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. You're going to have to think on that word, because if you don't give it some thought, what is God telling me to do here? What is my part, the part I play? You have to get that down in your spirit enough to establish the belief enough in your heart that you will act on it. Now, if you don't meditate on it or think about it, you're going to be like that guy where James said the same thing to, which looked in the mirror and straight away went his way and forgot what manner of man he saw there. He forgot. He didn't think on it. He didn't meditate on it. He didn't say, whoa, the thing that I just saw here, I need to really think about a little bit. And then finally, you can do. Then you'll be able to do it. And then you'll prosper and have good success. You know, understanding these five steps is so vital, I want to take some time to give two or three more witnesses. In other parts of the Bible, God says exactly the same thing over and over and over again. So there's the five steps. Now, here's something that helps you, I think. Do you understand that God wants you to succeed? He wouldn't give you directions on how to succeed unless he really wanted you to, would he? I mean, 3 John 2 said, beloved, I wish above all things that you might what?
Prosper.
Prosper and
be in health.
Even as your soul, or you could say, to the degree your soul prospers. In other words, to the degree that your mind is renewed with the word of God, you can do these things. To the degree that you let your mind become renewed and meditate on these things enough to stay on course and to be strong and courageous, you can do these things. Okay? Now, let's look at the second witness and see, this is God speaking here, isn't it? Who is speaking to Joshua? It's God himself giving him five steps to take to have good success. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 and see another witness. You know, on the way there, let's just stop by Deuteronomy. We're right there. Real quickly at Deuteronomy 28. I'll read this one. Verse 1, and it shall come to pass, God says, if you hearken diligently, that would be to hear, right? Hearken diligently to what? The voice of the Lord, that'd be the word of God, wouldn't it? So hear, that's number one, to observe and to do what you hear, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will do all these things. Do you realize the blessing of Abraham is also, which is in Deuteronomy 28, dependent upon us hearing and doing the word? In other words, Joshua says, in Joshua, he told Joshua, if you do all these things, you'll prosper and have good success. If you ever want to get into more detail on what this prospering and good success is, read the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy 28. That gives you the details of it. Why can I say that? Because the first verse here says, if you hear God's word and do it, this is the good things that will happen. Okay? So if you want more detail on what God means by prospering and have good success, just read those first 15 verses. That just occurred to me as we were going our way to Matthew. If you want more detail on what God's, what things you can claim there. All right. God said in another place, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. God wants us to choose the good things in life. He also said, I delight in the prosperity of my servant. So God wants to bless us. Now go on to Matthew chapter 13. It just occurred to me that there was another, there's a fourth witness there. We're going to go over three or four. All right, Matthew 13, let's start at verse 18. And Chuck, start at verse 18 and go through 19, okay?
Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. If anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. Snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside.
Okay. What is this talking about here? What's he talking about in verse 18? Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears, what is the sower? Why is it called the sower? What's the sower sowing in this? There's three examples of this parable in the Bible. There's one in Matthew, one in Mark, and one in Luke. And they all give a little more information about this. The sower sows the what?
Word.
We're talking about the word of God here. Just like we were in Joshua. And just like we were in Deuteronomy 28 that we just covered. He's saying, hear therefore the parable of the sower that sows the word. And Chuck just read, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Now that word understandeth there makes it sound like if he's too, I don't know what the word is, but if he just some reason he can't understand it, he's being penalized. That's not what it means at all. If you go look up the Greek on that word, it says this. It says this word understand means to set or to join together. It means to put forth, it's talking about hearing the word now, to put forth the mental effort to understand. That's what it's really saying here. So if you read it this way, if anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not put forth the mental effort it takes to understand, or does not give the word the respect it deserves, or to treat it with, and don't treat it with the proper value, then comes the enemy, the wicked one, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. In other words, the only way the enemy can get that word is for the person to sort of sit back, and I'll think of this, on the wayside, in other words, and evaluate, could this be true? Or, this is not what I've heard before, or this goes against the understanding or teaching I had as a child. It doesn't give it the proper respect. In other words, then that opens the door to the enemy to come in and steal that word on more or less a permanent basis. Now this is after reading what all these words mean, then I understand a little bit better that it's not just because someone is incapable of understanding, it's because they have not treated the word with the proper, given it the proper value. The enemy comes in. So number one, hey, that means that we hear the word on the subject. We've got to treat it with respect. Now go on here and read verse 20, Chuck.
But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy.
Yeah, verse 21.
Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, immediately he stumbles.
Okay, now here we, if you look at this, you can see now we have to be strong and courageous. Because why? persecution and tribulation are going to arise. Why? Just randomly? No, because of the word. Because of the word you heard. There will be trials and tribulations to come. If you hear the word on something, you begin to act a little differently than the people around you at work or somewhere like that, because, well, I can't go along with that. Well, I just read in the Bible that I'm supposed to behave this way. And everybody else is going in the opposite direction. You may get some persecution. You probably will. You're going to get some trial over that. You're not going to get away from this scot-free. Enemy will see that you're tested on these things. So this person receives it with joy. They're different than the first person. The first person was just sort of treating it with, like, well, I don't know about that, kind of by the wayside. The second person received it with joy, but when the persecution came for the word, he gave it up. In other words, he wasn't strong and courageous. I mean, that's the same thing we're talking about back here in Joshua. What amazed me as I went through the Bible and really read this closely was these same five steps are all through the Bible. It's incredible how God keeps teaching us the same lesson, not only from his own lips to Joshua, but also now through Jesus, his son's lips, and we're going to see pretty quickly through James' lips. And so we might say that, number one, you have to hear God's word on the subject. That would be letting it get through these filters that we talked about first. Secondly, we need to be strong and courageous when temptation comes. Yes?
Would this be the area, like, when you're praying for a financial breakthrough, and in the beginning it looks like things are getting worse instead of better?
Exactly. What do you got to do? You got to be strong and courageous.
Yeah.
Say, wait a minute. God's word said this. I need to do this. You're not going to get home scot-free on these things. So many times, I've made it sound, I guess, a little bit like, hear the word and then just kind of do it and you'll be fine. But the problem is you can't really do it until you go through these steps, until you're going to be tested. You got to be strong and courageous. Now look what is next here. Let's read verse 22.
Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful.
Okay, now here is the third thing. Stay on course. Don't turn to the right or left. In other words, what's happening here is that this person has received the word, but then all of a sudden, other things enter in. You've got the cares of this world, the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word. In other words, all of a sudden you find yourself off course. You're no longer heading toward doing what you've heard. You're being distracted by the lusts of this world, and the other things entering in. Remember what God said? He said to Joshua, he says, don't turn from this to the right or to the left. Stay on course. What will get you off course quicker than anything? It's this world, the temptations, the thing in the morning. I mean, you're getting up and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're getting in the Word. You're strengthening your beliefs in the Word. And all of a sudden, you get busy at work or something like that, and you have to pay for this, and you want a little overtime, or whatever it might be. That overtime's fine and all that. But gradually, I find it's gradually, you find your life getting off a little bit. All of a sudden, you're not spending that time there, and your beliefs are not becoming strengthened again. And all of a sudden, you start to forget the course that you were on. That's when the lust of other things entering and choke the word. All right? And he becometh unfruitful. Now, you must read verse 23.
But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. When deep, bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30.
Notice again, if you get through these steps, at the end there's a blessing. You'll bear fruit 30, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold in your life. There's a blessing always on the other end when you get through this. Okay, now in Luke's account of this whole thing, he says, he that keepeth my sayings, keeping his sayings is doing the word, okay? Does everybody understand that? If you keep his sayings, that means you're doing what they say. And so again, even though it's not exactly in the same words as before, the same five steps are there. Hear the word, be strong so you don't fall away when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. Stay on course, you aren't turned aside with the cares of this world for the lust of other things. And then think on what you heard, take heed what you hear. That's the meditation part that was in Joshua. And finally, if you do all that and keep his sayings, do the word, then you'll bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. Same thing, same five steps. All right, I'll turn to James. I don't think we're going to go too long tonight, but I want to lay a foundation for some things that we're going to be, I think are going to be really interesting that we're going to get into in the next few weeks on this. But tonight, I just want you to see, I want to establish, I guess, some beliefs in you that these indeed are the five steps that God says all through His Word, that if we'll do these things, we will either be prosper and have good success, we will have the first 15 verses of Deuteronomy 28 that talks about the blessing of Abraham, we will bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold, and now, if that isn't enough, that God tells us this in two places in the Old Testament, that Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, and just reported on what Jesus said, the same five steps, God says they still need to hear it again, and so we look at James, and let's look at chapter 1. And Marianne, would you read verse 21, and then just stop, and then I'll let you go on to some others after that.
Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you.
Okay, now notice, James is starting out here now. First, what does he say? Lay apart all these things and receive what? The word. What kind of word, honey?
The word.
But what is the word? Just read what you read me.
The word planted in you.
The word planted in you. It's like a seed, isn't it? Does that sound a little bit like the parable of the sower? The word is a seed again. That word's planted in you, okay? James is saying the same thing, which is able to save your souls. Now, so many people think it's what gets born again when we're born again. It's our spirits, isn't it? So God's not talking about that. He's talking to believers here. He's saying this implanted word can save your soul, which is what? Your mind, your will, your emotions. In other words, he's talking about getting your mind renewed.
Cool.
This implanted word is able to renew your mind. That's what you need to do. You have your mind changed. And then so many people divorce this verse from the one following, but it figures right in. If you understand, we're talking about the word, we're talking about the word planted, and we're talking about the fact that it's able to renew your mind. Now go on with that in mind. Read verse 22, honey.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Deceive yourself. Do what it says.
Okay, so he's talking about getting your mind renewed with the word so you can do what it says. Now go on with verse 23.
Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
Now, why do you look in a mirror, ladies, primarily? I think you spend more time looking in mirrors than men do, probably. Why, honey? Just be honest. I mean, why do you look in a mirror?
To see how I look.
To see how you look. Beautiful. That's why he likens the word into a mirror, right? Because we're supposed to look in here and see how we look. The word has that power. You may have noticed that sometimes in church or in preaching. Every once in a while, something will just zing. At that moment, that is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying, this is an area in your life that needs to be corrected. Why is the Word given to us? The Word is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit and is profitable for
correction,
teaching first, doctrine,
yeah.
Reproof, correction. He said, that's wrong, do it this way. What does isn't that, have you ever experienced that when you heard the Word preached? That's wrong, do it this way. For instruction in right living. That's what the word's given for. And you'll get these things, you know. That's looking at your face in the mirror. When that happens, you're seeing yourself in the mirror. As Marianne just said, you look to see what you look like. And to see what else is a woman or a man even look in the mirror for. Don't you look there to see if there needs to be any correction made sometimes? Maybe something's not quite the way I want it, or I need to touch up a little more blush here, I don't know what happens, but or maybe this, I got eyeshadow too much on this eye and not enough on this eye, I don't know, help me here. Or I look in there and see if my hair is combed right, you know, and things like that, if it's gotten blown to the wind, so it's, you know, ha-ha. But we look in there to see how we look and to maybe make some corrections. That's, you know, why he's liking this whole thing to a mirror here. Okay, honey, read verse 24 now, and read again if you've read it before.
I just read that.
I'll read it again.
Okay. And after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like.
All right, stop right there. There's the danger. See, this is why we need more than two steps. Hear the word, do the word. Well, this guy just heard the word, didn't he? He looked in the mirror, saw what manner of man he was, and immediately what? Forgot what he saw. See, we're going to need more if we're going to do it. If you forget what you saw, don't we all agree that you're not going to do it? If you forget it, how can you do it? You just forgot it. So that's why God says in Joshua, meditate on it. That's why he says in Matthew 13, or in Luke, take heed what you hear. In other words, it's not enough just to hear it. We've got to take heed to it. And that's where I think a lot of people are missing it, is that they don't mean to. But how many have ever been to church on Sunday? You go in there and you hear a good sermon, and you come out and you're even talking about it on the way out of church, and then about 3 hours later, somebody says, what was the sermon about today? And you go, I don't know. We've all been there, haven't we?
Yes.
He immediately forgot what manner of man he saw. And that's why God says, you're going to need to do more. You need to hear this word. You need to be strong and courageous. You need to meditate on it. Because if you don't, you're going to forget what you heard. And then you're not going to do it. You're going to be turned off course. And it's never, you're never going to receive what Marianne's about to read in verse 25.
But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
If you get clear to the end and finally do the word, what happens?
You'll be blessed.
You'll be blessed. You'll prosper, have good success. You'll bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. You'll be blessed in what you do. And isn't that what Deuteronomy 28 says is one of the blessings of Abraham is if you'll observe to do the word, hear it, hearken to it, and do it. One of the places he says, I'll bless all that you set your hand to. Does that sound a little bit like blessed in what you do?
Yeah.
There it is again. God is saying this so many times. And the reason he's putting it so strongly in me, I think, is because, hey, you're the group that I talk to on a biweekly basis. He wants you to know about it too, maybe in a little different way than you thought about it before. Think about what he just said here, Miriam. Hear God's word, number one, to get it planted in your heart, to make any necessary changes in your mind. Number two, to be strong. That's what Joshua said. Here he says, so that you will continue in the word. In other words, do you notice here it said that? Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, looking in that mirror, and continueth. It's easy to stop right there. Look at it. Forget what you saw. He being not a forgetful hearer, getting turned off course through forgetting. That's why you get turned off course, isn't it? Stay on course. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that just believing is enough and goeth your way. Remember it says he goeth his way? He says, be not deceived. It says deceiving, he doers the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So many people are deceiving their own selves. They go to church, they go to a Bible study, they hear what the word says, and they think that's enough. That's deceiving your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because they've never gone through these other steps to get to the point where they can actually do what it says. Do you know what? If you never meditate on the word of God, if you forget what manner of man you saw in that mirror, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. It'll never come up in your mind. This is something I need to change and do differently right now. Because if you just hear it, it's easy to deceive yourselves thinking that's enough. I've gone to church. I've heard what it had to say. And it made me feel good. Now let's have dinner and forget it and never act on it. See, the power is only when we act on what the word says. That's where God's power is released into the promise. See, it's only when the seed is planted in the ground and left there under all kinds of adverse conditions and kept there that you're able to get a harvest. And this is what God is saying there. He said it so many different ways here, and you'll be blessed in what you do. Now, one final witness. This would be the fifth one, actually, because God says in his word, let everything be established by how many? Two or more witnesses, right? So we've seen four witnesses so far. And this last one's really quick, and then we'll finish on this one. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. And we'll finish up with Sue and Karen over here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24.
Sue, would you read verse 24 of the...
Therefore, everyone who sees words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock.
Okay, go on to 25.
The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock.
Okay, now who's speaking here?
Jesus.
Jesus is speaking, isn't he? So do you think what he's saying is going to be something we can count on? We can put count on it to be true? Therefore, she said, whosoever, did she say apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers? No, he said, whosoever. That would include every one of us and everyone in the world, because he didn't say just believe. He says, whosoever. What's the first condition there, Sue, that you read? Whosoever what?
Hears.
So first you got to hear, don't you? Well, most of us are hearing. I think most of us in this room have heard a good bit of the word, and that's good. That's the necessary first step. Therefore, whosoever heareth, okay, we've done that. Whose sayings?
Puts them into practice.
Here's Jesus' sayings, or the word sayings, and puts them into practice. Well, really, he's cutting to the chase here. He's saying, hear and do. He hasn't yet said anything about those intermediate three steps that we covered in all the other examples. But go on here. She did say, I will liken him unto a wise man, a wise person. You want to know what the definition of a wise person is? A person that follows through, not only hears the word, but finally gets to the end of the five steps and actually does the word. Why are they wise? Well, let's go on and find out. Because this man built his house upon a rock. What is this rock? This rock is the word, unchanging word. Now listen. The rain descended, she said, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. What's the house? That's our life, right? And it fell not. Because why? That person did the word, right? That's the rock doing the word. All right, now, think about it. This person, problems came, right? What do you have to be when problems come? Strong and courageous. Yeah. See, it's in here. I mean, God is saying that, look, there's two classes of person. We haven't read the second one yet, but the first one heard the word and did it, and he overcame the problems. Didn't say there weren't any problems. See, some Christians got the idea that if you do everything just right as a Christian, you won't have any problems. And that's not true. God never said that. He never said it to Joshua. He never said it through James. He never said it through the parable of the sower. He just said that I will not allow them. Nothing that stands in your way will be able to, nothing will be able to stand. They will try to, but they won't be successful if you'll do it this way. All right? That's what God promises. He doesn't say that you won't have no problems. I've talked to some people who they hear the word of faith after a while and begin to think that if anything goes wrong, it must be something, sin they've made or something. We're all going to have problems. You try to get on the word, you're going to have some problems. Why? First of all, Satan comes immediately to steal it, doesn't he? Then persecution arises for the word's sake. Then the cares of this world and the lust of other things that are in chokes the word. Here Jesus said, problems are going to come. But if you'll stand on that word, if you'll make it through to the other side, you won't fall. You'll be successful in life. Now, Karen, you go on and read verse 26 and 27.
But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand.
That's the definition of a foolish man. See, we have a wise man and a foolish man. Well, a wise man is one who hears the word and does it. A foolish man hears the word and doesn't do it. We don't want to be foolish, do we? But you know what? Every time we hear the word and don't put it into practice in our life, we're foolish. Every single time. That's what God is saying right here. Every time we go to church, every time we hear the word taught, every time we get something in our spirit that says, oh my goodness, I need to cut that out, or I need to go talk to that person, or I need to say I'm sorry to so-and-so. All these little things that come up, oh, I need to go back to my wife or my husband and say I'm sorry, you know. These little things that are brought up. Every time we don't do that, we're a foolish person. Every time we follow through on those little things that God comes in our heart through God's word, God calls us wise. And God also not only says, are you wise, but you're going to be blessed.
You're going to get through the problem. You're going to prosper and have good success. You're going to bear fruit 36 to 100 fold. You're going to be blessed in what you do. You're going to have the 15 verses of Deuteronomy 28 blessings in your life. Bless all that you set your hand for, hand to. He that rises up against you one way will flee before you seven ways. I'll make you above only and not beneath, the head not the tail. All these things are in the blessing of Abraham that will happen in your life. And it furthermore says these blessings will overtake you if you're a doer of the world. They will catch up to you. They will find you wherever you are. You cannot escape these blessings, God is saying, if you're the wise man and you do what the word says. Now, this tells me that if we're not enjoying these blessings in our lives, that means somewhere we're remiss on doing the word in some area of our life, because that's what releases the power. But you've got to get through these other steps. You're going to have to carefully consider what it says. You're going to have to mull these things over. When you get in the Bible in the morning and you read the word and it says something in there about forgiving someone or saying something to your mate or getting this straightened out with your mate or whatever it might be, or getting something established with your children, whatever it might be, you need to obey that if you're a wise man or a wise woman to be blessed in what you do. Otherwise, you won't be, and you're called a foolish man or a foolish woman. And what we're learning tonight is it's not so much to know you need to hear it and do it. It's that there's going to be things come up, Satan-inspired and some just the world getting in the way, that are going to try to keep you from following through. And so you're going to have to be strong and courageous. You're going to have to not be a forgetful hearer. You're going to have to give action to what you heard. It's not enough to just lay there in bed at night and think, oh, you know what? I need to do this, talk to that person, or get this straightened out or something like that, and then forget about it. It's not going to be enough, because that blessing that God wants to give you cannot come in until we complete the equation. So this is what God wants to do tonight. So I've just, at the bottom here, another thing I want to tell you about is God showed me this week, there's no middle ground on this. In other words, there isn't halfway in between. You're either under the blessing or you're under the curse. That's what the Bible says. You know, here's what happens if you do this thing, you're blessed. If you don't do it, then the curse can come upon you. God's not bringing the curse, but you're opening yourself up to bad things in your life. You know, it's sort of like I heard a guy say in a teaching thing one time. He says, we need to paddle our canoe a little bit all the time. He says, and keep slowly moving upstream against that current, because the world is a current that will carry you backwards if you stop. And that's what God is saying here. He says, look, if you're not following through and doing what it says, you're not going to get these blessings. And furthermore, because of that, go read verse 15 of Deuteronomy 28. It says, if you don't observe to do all these things, then these curses, even though you're redeemed from them, you open the door for them in your life. So we need to really see this doing the word as a very important thing. All right, now, just as something to think about, here's some reasons why we fall short of success. Number one, it's not possible to get to step five without going through steps two, three, and four. Otherwise, God would have given us just two steps. He wouldn't have spent so much time on these intermediate steps if there weren't some reason he wanted us to know these things about being not a forgetful hearer, all these things, be strong and courageous. Number two, Satan is involved. He comes immediately to see if he can steal the word. These are the reasons we fall short sometimes, but we got to get through this, and we can get through it, just like the Israelites got the promised land. That's what God is saying. You got to be strong and courageous. We cave in when problems come, thinking it's too hard or God must not want us to have it. I've heard that one a few times. Number four, time passes and we forget to continue doing what the word said we're supposed to do. Number five, we fail to give proper value to the word because we don't fully understand its power. We're going to talk about some of these things. And we hear and do believe, but the belief formed is not yet strong enough to support action. We need to hear it some more. And so what we'll do in the next few weeks is we'll continue in this vein. We won't go through it in this detail what these five steps are, but we'll take each one of these steps into some detail. And I think it will shed some light on this whole thing. So that's the end of the lesson for tonight. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Okay, let's go over our homework for lesson 115, and the title of the lesson was The Five Steps to Success. Okay, question number one. There's a lot of written answers on this one. Why do you think God picked Joshua for the job of leading the Israelites into the promised land? What could you pick out from the word and why he might have picked Joshua? It doesn't say in the passage that we had, but what do you have any ideas why he picked Joshua? Anybody?
Because he had faith.
Because he had faith. How do we know that?
He believed when they went and saw what the other 10 spies saw, he believed what God said, not what he saw.
Right. He had a good track record then, didn't he?
He did.
And so I think he showed God a lot in that whole situation where 40 years later, it was only two guys that were over 20 when that happened that went in, didn't they? And they were who? They were Joshua and
Caleb.
Right. So he had a good track record, and I think that's why God picked him. Why did God show Joshua exactly what he must do to enter the promised land? Why do you think he showed him?
They could be successful.
So he could be successful. I think that's exactly the reason. I mean, God says, okay, here's what it's going to take, Joshua. I want you to be successful. So that's the reason. Good job. Yes, honey?
Can we go back to the first one just 1 minute?
Yeah, sure.
Actually, what he did was way earlier, 40 years earlier, or however, he said, we can do this. So he actually said,
That's true.
Can do this. So he was one of the two that said it out loud, we can do this. And so God picked him because...
Right.
Say,
that's just
it. Maybe it'll take 40 years, but we get there. But,
that's kind of what Steve was saying.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, he did say it.
Yeah, that's
you know, he did come out and he and Caleb and says, "Hey, wait a minute, guys, we can do this." Yeah.
So good. We believe that. Why not Caleb then?
Well, Caleb, as you recall, was already 80 years old. I think if the word says at that time, he was kind of an old man.
Oh.
And even though he went into Promised Land, Joshua was, I think, quite a bit younger than he was. In fact, remember later, Caleb says, I want to take this mountain or something like that. And God says, well, go ahead, you know. And there it says he was 80 years old and he took it. I've always thought that was pretty cool for a guy 80 to be start looking for something new to do.
Yeah, but when God brought Moses to bring them out of the promised land, he was 80.
That's true. Well, you'll have to ask God. You know, the final ocean. But I just always thought, you know, Josh was a little younger and, you know, I don't know. Caleb would have been a good man. I think either one would have been good. We didn't hear a bunch about Caleb after that too much. We know he went in, but we don't know much else about that. So I'm not exactly sure. Next question. Why didn't God just wipe out the people blocking the way and lead them into the promised land himself? Why didn't God just leave? Why didn't he need Joshua?
Wanted to be strong and courageous.
True, he's going to have to be strong and courageous to get in. God told him that. But this wasn't directly answered in the lesson. This is one of those thinking questions. Why doesn't God just save everybody and take them into the...
He wouldn't teach any of them or us anything.
True.
That's real good.
But since the fall, I mean, when man sort of chose to go the way of the enemy, that sort of... And God gave man dominion over this earth. Then, for the first time, prayer came in. God's got to be invited in. God gives suggestions and directions. But since the fall, it's been up to man to follow those directions and go in. Because God is sort of, you know, Satan is the little g god of this world. He's got a right to be here now. And since Adam turned over this dominion to him, it seems God says, if you want something, ask me, invite me in. Here's my suggestion. Here's the way. It will work if you'll take these directions and go in. You know, Jesus came to earth, showed us how to live. I mean, he didn't live it for us. So ever since the fall, God provides direction, asks for us to ask for help, but man must act on that direction. You know, all through the Bible, faith comes from hearing what God's direction is, but then man has to act for it to be fulfilled.
He couldn't do it for him.
Right. He couldn't do it for him because based on the fact that after the fall of man, he gave them dominion in this planet and then they turned it over to Satan. Why is it important for us to know the directions and steps God gave Joshua for success, do you think? Why do we care about this? I mean, you know, just because we're studying the Bible, we like to know what's in the Bible, or is there any other reason you can think of?
Because it would work for us if we work it. We've watched him work it, so...
Because the same steps will work for us. Now, how do we know that? Well, how do we know that this doesn't apply to Joshua? Because God never mentioned us in that thing. Any ideas? In our lesson last week, we gave several other, what, witnesses on these five steps. And some of those were in the New Testament. And one of those, Buddy's barking like crazy because somebody's showing up.
Yeah, Matt,
oh, okay. Okay, we'll just pause for a second while we wait for Matt and Danielle. Okay, we're on question. Question was, why is it important for us to know the directions and steps God gave Joshua for success? It's because the same steps work for us. And we know that because Jesus basically gave us the same steps in the parable of the sower. He told us what to do in the storms of life. He hears my word and does it is like the man, you know, that built his house on the rock. When the storms came, he survived. But the man who heard the word and didn't do it, he succumbed to the storm. These are all in the New Testament. James 1, 21 through 25 says that if he hears the word and be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So all those steps are in the New Testament too. That's why we can, we know that it worked for us. What rule of Bible interpretation did we use in our lesson to show that God really did give us five steps to success? What rule did we use? Anybody know? You don't got that rule of Bible interpretation?
Yeah.
Okay, you figured it out. You answered the question. What
two
is
or
it?
More witnesses, two or three witnesses.
What about two or three witnesses?
The message is verified in the word by many witnesses and many it's.
What is the specific scripture, word for word, not missing any words?
I forgot.
How about let everything, what, be confirmed by two or three or more, two or more witnesses. Right. Good job. Now, how do we know that's true? What scriptures? Anybody look up in their concordance any scriptures? You who know the answer over there? What? You forgot to look it up. Okay. Did anybody search on two or more witnesses or anything like that, come up with scriptures? Okay, I'll give you some if you want to write them down. Deuteronomy 17:6, Deuteronomy 19:15, Matthew 18:16, 2 Corinthians 13:1, 1 Timothy 5:19, and Hebrews 10:28. All says the same thing. So that tells us that to let everything be confirmed by two or more witnesses, we also have many scriptures that says let everything be confirmed by two or more witnesses. So we have it twice. Okay. Okay, true or false? The first step to success is to believe God's word. True or false?
True.
True, true. False. Anybody else have an opinion?
Hear that.
Hmm?
No. Hear it. Yeah. First.
Close, but no cigar, as they say. No, Marianne's right. It's false. The first step to success is to what, honey? What it was?
To hear it.
We can't believe it until we hear it. So, okay.
My tea enough.
True or false? If we will just hear what God's word has to say to be successful, we will be successful. True or false?
False.
Okay, why is that one false?
You
actually have to do it. That's right. There were five steps, not just two steps we discovered, right?
That's right.
So there's four others. There's three steps in between the hearing and the doing. True or false? Satan can steal the word sown in our heart whenever he wants. True or false?
False.
False. All right. When can he steal it?
Disobedience.
What?
When disobedience.
When we're disobedient. Actually, he gets a little more definitive than that in the parable of the sower. He says, he that heareth the word and understandeth it not, then cometh the enemy and steals the word. And we looked up the word understand in the Greek and found out that the word understand really implies that it's our stupidity or our intelligence that determines whether he can steal. But that's not true. That's not what that word understand means. You look up the Greek meaning, it says, when we do not give the word the respect it deserves or treat it without the proper value, then he can come in and steal it. In other words, we're on the fence about it. Yeah, that's what the Bible says, all right. But I don't know. I was brought up and my parents always said, and the church we went to said this or whatever. Now you're on the fence here. You're letting your experience or your tradition
govern whether you're going to believe God's word or not. At that instant, that word is vulnerable, and the enemy will come in and steal it. He'll create some circumstances to tip you over on the side of doubt. And anyway, it says that's when he can steal it, when we don't treat the word with the proper value. Okay. If we hear and then do the word in a certain area, we will be successful in that area, true or false?
True.
However, there are three steps in between hearing and doing, isn't it? So to really do the word, you've got to do steps 2, 3, and 4 as well. But it's true as written there. If we hear it and then do it. The trouble is, if you don't do the intermediate steps, you're not going to be able to do it, probably. So, but it's true as written, so that's true. But we will have trouble doing the word, this is what I meant, in a particular area, unless we also, what? Take steps 2, 3, and 4, which are be strong and courageous and keep moving ahead when adversity and problems arise. That's step 2. Step 3, stay on course. Don't turn to the right or the left when things look like it's not working. And 4, meditate, think on, ponder, and keep saying what you heard so you don't forget what you must do. A lot of people just forget before the doing. They hear it, and then that's what James said, you know. Be not a forgetful hearer. In other words, some people hear it, and they go, oh my gosh, that thing in church really convicted me, and the time dinner rolls around, they've forgotten all about it, and they never go back to it again, and they never get to the point of actually doing what it said, simply because they forget. Name the 4 good things God's word says will happen if we follow the 5 steps correctly. What were some of the things? You remember?
Prosperity.
What?
Prosperity.
Right.
Success.
Anything else?
Success.
Good success. There's another one. Good.
Good health.
What?
Good health.
Good health is certainly one of the benefits. That's would fall under the probably bearing fruit in your life. But the things that we looked at last week, bear fruit was one. Good health would be another one. What does James say will happen if we follow these 5 steps correctly? We'll be blessed in what we do. Very good, honey. Actually, Deuteronomy 28 says the same thing. If we'll hearken unto God's word and observe to do it, we'll be blessed in all that we set our hand to. That sort of sounds like the same thing, doesn't it? See, God keeps repeating this stuff over and over in his word. And what is one of the things? Anybody got anything else there? One of the good things that will happen? What happens when the storms of life come if you hear the word and don't do it?
Swept away.
You'll be swept away. You won't stand when the trials of life come. So a benefit of hearing and doing the word then would be you'd be stand during and after the storms of life hit us. So those are some of the benefits. The word is like a what? What did we find out last week?
A seed,
right. Okay, bonus. Name 4 other things the word of God is likened unto in the New Testament. Now, if you look up these scriptures, you have no excuse not to get these 4 things. Let me humiliate you a little bit first, okay? Who knows? It's like a seed, but what else is it like? Anybody got another one?
A lamp.
A lamp? Well, that's true. It's just not one of the scriptures I gave you. What scripture would you give us for that, honey?
I don't know. I know it's a lamp unto your feet, so there.
That's Psalm 119.
Psalm.
Psalm 119.
I think it's written.
It's either 105 or 130, the verse. Yeah, it is a lamp. Very good. You're even delving into the Old Testament. But I said New Testament, so let's have some out of the New Testament. All right. Well, that's good, honey. It's a lamp. It hadn't occurred to me.
Well, first thing hit me, I guess I was wrong.
No, that's not wrong. It's just not the New Testament. What else would we have? What else is the word like? Well, what do we find in James 1:25? It's like, Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For anyone who hears the word and doesn't do it is like a man who looks into a
mirror.
It's like a mirror. Okay? What else is it like? What's Ephesians 6? What's part of the sword of the Spirit? What's the armor? Well, I said it. What's some of the armor of God? It's a sword, isn't it? Okay? What else is the word like?
Milk.
Milk. It's like food, isn't it? What other kind of food is it like besides milk?
Meat.
Meat. How about another one?
Water.
What's the staff of life?
Bread.
Bread. It's like bread, isn't it? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every
word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So it's like bread, it's like meat, it's like milk.
Like Marianne had water.
Water's another one. That's exactly, water. Washing of water by the word talks about. Okay, there we go. We got sword, we got food, bread, milk, and meat. We've got water, we've got mirror, and we've got from the Old Testament, lamp. And light. Good job, honey. I mean, you know, Marianne's an amazing person, really. I mean, when you say New Testament, she not only knows the New Testament, she says, I'm going in the Old, too, and find out all it says about the Word.
Carefully, the lamp just hit me right off. I knew it.
I know that.
Holy Spirit speaking to you.
One more question. Based upon the parable of the sower, when we hear the Word, three problem areas may crop up to discourage us from doing the Word. They are what? What are they? Mm-hmm. What are some of the things mentioned in there that will crop up in your life to keep you from doing the Word?
The cares of this world.
Cares of this world. That was the third category. What was the first category? It was the, if you don't accept it in your heart or don't, you're kind of on the fence, what we say could happen? Who comes immediately to steal the word? The devil. So that's a problem. That's a problem area that can crop up. What's another one? It says, then the person received it into the stony ground, and he was fine for a while. In fact, received the word with joy. But then when, what came? Trials, persecution, affliction, temptation. All the three Gospels that cover the parable of the sower give us those for the second the way the seed was sown. Persecution, tribulation, affliction, and temptation. And then Sydney just mentioned in the third area that the weeds that grow up are called what? Sydney mentioned one of them. Cares of this world, I think she said. Lusts of other things. Deceitfulness of
riches.
Yeah. Riches and pleasures of this life. Yeah. All those things are things that can crop up to discourage us from doing the work.